Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Hesitates to believe in the all-knowing being.
Assalamu alaikum, and that is the peace that only Almighty God can give be upon you. And I would like to say that it also speaks to of the obligation on the greeter to keep the peace. I'm so happy today. Welcome. I'm Michael Hameen, host of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. Thank Allah, Almighty God, for your presence. And we have with us this evening Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, the editor of a number of books with the commentary language of Imam Wahdi Muhammad. Imam Ronald, I want to welcome you to Not Just Talk. Thank you for being with us. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I've enjoyed our numerous occasions of your being a guest on the program and sharing with the audience your what we can call your assignment in terms of your association with Imam W.D. Muhammad as a student, and I would also say as well a colleague of Imam Muhammad. And you, Imam Shahid Abdul Ghani, and Brother Morocco, who has passed, may Allah forgive him his sins and grant him paradise. You, the last 2 years of Imam Wazi Muhammad's life, meeting with him on a regular basis. And would you share with us Imam Muhammad's commenting to you in reference to these regular meetings?
Well, to be brief, it was something that came about that we were not aware that was happening. But, you know, I moved to Milwaukee in late 90s. And, you know, I kind of liked being that close to Chicago. So it afforded me the opportunity to go down to Chicago pretty much for every first Sunday and, you know, Ramadan sessions and everything. But I forget the year. I think it may have been 2003 maybe. He asked me and Imam Ghani to if we would accept the responsibility to help him produce and distribute his syndicated program, W.D. Muhammad and Guests, which had been on for several years. And he told us that if we could do that, it would take a great burden off his shoulders. So we accepted it, not really having done anything like that before. And he said that he would help us. He would come to Milwaukee, we could come to Chicago, and we could film him, and then we would distribute the tapes. The first there were VHS, and then we went to digital, CDs and everything. But anyway, in the middle of that, he invited us to come to his home. He wanted to cook dinner for us. And then from that time, and that was like the fall of 2006. And from then on, our meetings with him were regular on Thursdays. And leading up to that, he told us to bring good tape recorders in case there was something he wanted to say. We could record it and then transcribe it and then distribute it in the community for him, you know. So we just began. If he was in town, it was just our time, 2:30 on Thursday. If he was in town, we didn't even have to ask anymore. We would go down to Chicago. And I just checked, and it was I don't know. There was a lot. It was a lot of meetings. Some weeks he wasn't in town, but I don't have the number of times we met. And we would meet in his home. We would also go out to restaurants near his home, and we didn't see it at first. I'm going because that's my leader, and whatever he wants, I'm gonna give it, or I'm gonna listen, or whatever. But we came to find out that he considered us his friends, and he wanted to talk. He told us one time that we probably didn't realize that the reason why we were coming with him like that was because he needed somebody to talk to. I never thought about it like that way. I needed to hear what the leader had to say on a number of things. But it was actually that he needed somebody. He told us exact words. I need somebody to talk to, and that's why I invite you all here.
Yes, sir.
So that's it. And he, obviously, being the person that he was, he's aware of what's going on in the world, in the nation, et cetera, et cetera. So he was always having thoughts that he wanted to share with us about what was happening in the world, even talking to us on some occasions about how he saw the future and what it would look like for us in the world and what would be our role and that kind of thing. So I've been working on that would kind of share many of those topics and what he said about them. And I'm praying that in the next 6 months or so, I would have a publication out based on those meetings that we had.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you sharing that. And the students of Imam Wahdi Muhammad need to hear that from you. And as well as Imam Muhammad's thinking in regards to those that identify with him, one, and those that consider themselves students, two. And did he, during this time, did he comment on those two focuses?
I remember once that I asked him how would he describe his students. I said to him, my conclusion would be that everyone who says they were his student couldn't be his student, you know? And so
yes.
I asked him to give a description of his student, and he said, first of all, he said, the majority of my students come from the age group of middle age and older. And then he said, but some young ones too, you know. And he talked about some specific young ones that he was mentioning. But he said his students were those who, whenever he would speak, they would want to be there to listen and also to take notes about what he was saying, you know. And on one occasion he said too that his students consider among, you know, like, you know, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, they would have his, what he's saying and reflections upon what he's saying as their top material that they would be studying on a regular basis, you know. So that was the way that I heard him describe his students. And I going on that reasoning, I would say the same thing today, you know, that
yes.
Instead of giving thoughts from others first priority, we should be giving what he said as first priority.
Yes,
that defines students today.
Yes, sir. I found that problematic. I have an association with a friend and colleague who did the recordings for the radio broadcast. And because of that association, I happened to be in it didn't just happen. It was because of his help that I was in this meeting where Imam Muhammad was talking to a number of imams, known imams, and also there were those members of the CPC project, business project. And Imam Muhammad described a model, I guess you could say an urban model, of attraction for the public. And he described, and I'm going to add this to it because after thinking about it for a while, I saw the strategy for a people who were not financially solid. I'm going to put it that way. They were not what he identified early in his leadership as the striving poor, in spite of my hearing from a number of different places, those that associate with Imam Muhammad as seeing themselves more in terms of a middle-class focus. But I say those who are not financially strong in terms of financial know-how. So he described this model, this urban model, as a building, like a strip mall type of focus, a building that served community functions, social events, business meetings, and then at the times of prayer, putting down mats so that the prayer function could take place, the salah function could take place. And to the left, let's say a law office, to the right, some other type of business activity, similar to what you see in Atlanta, where you have to the left a restaurant, a barbershop, and all of these business entities are owned and operated by Muslims, and in particular Muslims and his association. So it had been a number of years since that meeting. Imam Muhammad passed in 2008. But I've yet to hear, the only time I heard that model brought up was when Sister Layla Muhammad, his daughter, was on the airwaves of AM360.org. And she mentioned a situation where she was sitting at the breakfast table with her father, and he described what I just described in terms of a urban community model. And that's, we talk about followers of Imam Muhammad, students of Imam Muhammad. There's so much that the Imam has left us in terms of strategy for establishing ourselves in Muslim community life that we need to be more sensitive. I'm going to put it this way. We need to be more sensitive to. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
I think that Imam Muhammad's father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, articulated from his understanding a community model where we would come together, loving and respecting each other, and work together to establish our lives for ourselves. And I think that Imam Muhammad articulated that in terms of giving us the understanding of our lives as Muslims, where we could actually do that, and we could transcend, I would think, the negative experiences and treatment and everything that we got over more than four centuries. Because, it's more than a notion to say that we become Muslim and all of that was handed down to us like you hand somebody a bucket of water in our spirit and psyche. It's more than a notion to think that that just disappears just because we say we're Muslim, And I think that what Imam was blessed to give us was a picture, a future picture of how we could function as Muslims following the model of Muhammad the Prophet and the guidance of Quran that God blessed Muhammad to receive and then give to the humanity at large. He demonstrated how these two great sources of guidance for Muslims could be used by us in the United States. So He established for us in his lifetime a mezheb, a school of thought that was based upon our experiences and how we were to use the best of our experiences to live our life as Muslims in this great country called the United States of America, you know, with no obstacles put up, because when, as that woman who wrote the book, Thomas Jefferson Quran, said, he said that the founding fathers used Islam as a test case to see if you could live your Islamic life here in America and not have America's Constitution hinder that. A lot of Americans, and a lot of us don't know that, that America, its thinkers are aware of the Quran's great influence in the history of America. And they would have no, if we were to live our Islamic life for the fullest extent in America, we would find no, in my opinion, we would find no obstacles. I think that's what Imam Muhammad, through his, the wisdom that God blessed him with and understanding the Quran, how to live it in this day and time in the most technologically advanced country on the earth. I think that he was blessed to give us the model. And I think that the biggest problem is that we shrink back from model that you described, and also there are all kinds of models that we could present, community models. We shrink back because we've never done it before. Everything we've inherited has been white folks, then Jews, then us. For example, I lived in Roxbury area in Boston for a while. And I was shocked to see, right in the neighborhood I was living, a big abandoned Jewish temple. And it was right across from that what's the name of that, that part of Boston, I can't remember. But anyway, a big mosque, a big temple, that Jewish temple. And when I was asking around, people knew, they said, well, all that area used to be all Jewish, you know. So that's been our experience. We've inherited communities that other people have moved out of. And so the community physically was already established. But the idea of us establishing a community ourselves, both physical, spiritual, psychological, business-wise, education-wise, et cetera, we have never done that. So it's a great monumental task that stands before us. And I think that we shrink from it, and rightfully so, because we've never done it. But I think with the bold leadership that Imam represented, I think it can be accomplished. So we definitely have all of the ingredients that we need in order to work, but we have to learn to work together, love each other, and push each other toward the destiny together, you know?
Yeah, you remind me of a saying of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, how wonderful it is that brothers and sisters of like minds come together. I love it, man.
And, you sounded like it when you said that.
I'm like
you were imitating.
Yeah, yeah. There were a lot of things that were left with us. You know that the idea that Imam Muhammad gave the example of the Nation of Islam under his father as a language environment. That's the kind of language of a social scientist. And I'm certain that because of things that I've come in contact with, that the social scientists will continue to study the Nation of Islam, whether or not it's reported to the public. But the Nation of Islam was a study and is a study of language environment and how the effects of language structure can affect the souls and behavior of people, you know.
Yeah.
And I see the same with those institutional memories that Imam Muhammad left us directed towards social institutions like business,
yes.
education, and the like.
Yes.
It's a process. Go ahead, please.
You know what he told the students in the classes, because, you know, one day I don't know if I could do it, inshallah, but I hope to maybe working with some others make available those the tafsir in those classes that Imam did from 2001 all the way to the end of 2006. So a lot of material, I think even more than the Ramadan sessions maybe. But anyway, he told the students, he said, why do you all think I teach you all like I do it? And those who were on the Imams and teaching for all those years, yourself, myself, and others like that who might be listening, know that Imam always taught about how civilizations develop. He would talk about the early man and how he saw the creation and what caused him to do this and do that, and this led to that, and he got with his neighbor, and they built a road, and then et cetera, et cetera. And the Imam talked extensively on those kind of concepts. So he asked the students in the class, he said, why do you all think that I teach that way? He said, it's because if ever a time comes when civilization goes down and it dies, you all can use this understanding to bring it back again. Now, the logic to me says, if we see how backwards this world is now and how all these things that were held in such esteem in civilized society, how they have been attacked and holes have been shot in it, and you can't even tell what a human, whether you got up, you're dealing with a man or a woman or what, you know, all kind of stuff is going on that lets you know that this world is going insane. And here we are in this world. We're either going to go with the way the world is going, or we're going to have to do like Imam said, get together and build our life together. And he has given us, by God's permission, the tools to understand it, how it was done the first time, and it can be done again. As the Bible says, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. You know? So one day we were coming home, taking the mama home after we had been in a restaurant, and we were all excited, and we were rushing the man back home because his wife had called. As soon as she called, he said, well, brother, we got to go. We got up, we got in the car, and we headed back. And so I don't know why this question came. I said, brother, man, I said, now all you've been teaching us, I said, about what is going on in the world and how the shaitan is working his scheme and everything. I said, you're not really saying that we should do something about that or can. He said, no, sir. He said, I just want to show you what Satan is doing, like I would show him under floodlight. He said, and once we see that, we need to get together and build a life together that we need to build with each other. And I think that's the answer. We you know, every time something happens in the world, because we've been so sensitized by our leader over these years, we think we're supposed to do something directly about it. And what we really should do is use that energy to get with each other and build a community life that would be exemplary for the rest of the world, the United States and the rest of the world. If we have the energy, we should do that, because if we go out in the world in that quagmire, that mess out there, we're going to get lost in the wilderness. We have to find each other. We have to love each other. We have to practice loving each other and build a life. Our Adhan calls us to life. Hayya lal salah, hayya lal falah. It calls us to be farmers, to cultivate this life that God has blessed us to know and to appreciate and love. You got to build it. You have to show the world that these people that the world turned its back on, God has now blessed them and they have the tools to rebuild this world. And those who heard him say, we got to remake the world, should be fired up by that idea. That how do you remake the world? Follow your leader, study what he said, get together and discuss plans to put into practice what he taught us. Follow the example of Muhammad the prophet, who, prayers and peace upon him, who left a city, Mecca, and went to Medina, and with his small group, they built the life that God was calling them to. And they became a model for all history. That's what we have to do. We can't do anything less than that.
Yes, sir. I tell myself, and I remind others as well, this life of establishing a Muslim community life in America is something that our souls require of us. I used to jokingly say, a lot of times we have these urges and we feel like, oh, I need to go get a sandwich from the refrigerator, fix myself a sandwich. Or some other thing. But it's really the soul nudging us. Look, you got an obligation. The soul is telling us, look, we're obligated to make happen what Imam Muhammad has directed our focus to. And I'm being patient, you know, that it's not dependent upon large numbers. It's dependent on what you mentioned in terms of the spirit. The commitment
to make
it happen with Allah's help. Right now we've got a caller in the queue, and we invite others who are online to press 1 to come into the conversation. And we're going to take this public service announcement break, and we'll be back with more of Not Just Talk with our guest Imam Ronald B. Shaheed after these messages.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. It supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion, decrease infection, remove inflammation, and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Afar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspiration. Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intentions and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy. Keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life, because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk. Welcome back. Our guest this evening is Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. And Imam Ronald, I want to share with you this observation. Sister Fitra Muhammad, she works with Imam Talib Sharif in Washington, D.C. She's an administrative person under his leadership. And some years ago, she established a program called Study Al-Islam. Now, this was an initiative that she saw was necessary and would be helpful. And since then, she's identified, because she's around our age, maybe a little younger, you know, the type that you mentioned in terms of the students of Imam Muhammad in general. And she elected to choose a younger host, whereby she transitioned and brought forward Sister Marsha Nivens out of New Jersey. And I'm also looking at you and the brothers stepping forward into an area that you were not familiar with, but you trusted that you could be of assistance. And Sister, the leader, invited you. You accepted the invitation to serve, you know, his at his direction. And I'm bringing this up in terms of the need of those that identify with Imam Muhammad's leadership to take to step out, to not wait on the leader to tell you need to do this or you need to do that, but to step out on faith and trust Allah. And what the word I'm looking for is take initiative. And you've done this. And others, you know, there are a few other examples. You know, what Imam Ezekiel Pacha and 20 others of his associates in purchasing property in Inkster, Michigan. And I hear what you're sharing, but there's got to be a change in the attitude of those that say that they're students of the Imam. And your thoughts in that regard.
Well, I have my mind is racing and thinking on what Imam Muhammad said to us, what the Elijah Muhammad said to us, what Muhammad the Prophet prayers and peace upon him, what it's reported that he said. Others, but those three come immediately to mind, and each one of them spoke of community, that the objective is community life. I think that's the answer. The answer is, like you said, we cannot go on, even though we might be doing good things, we cannot go on and we're just doing individual efforts. We have to come together and we have to learn to love each other, correct each other, as the prophet said, because he said we're obligated to correct, but he also said that you won't have paradise until you have faith, and you won't have faith till you practice loving each other.
Yeah.
And I remember once, the Focolare, the Christian group that Imam embraced their leader, Kira Lubick, and we still have great associations across the world. Their main concept that they focus on is love, loving each other, loving your neighbor, becoming one with your neighbor, living in the moment, all of these things focused on loving the other, you know. And so I remember asking the imam once, I said, Brother Imam, I said, what is the real reason that you want us to have associations with the Focolare? He said, what do you think? I said, well, I said, I know that their main concept is the love, love of their neighbor. They're working on the concept, the love of God, and then the love of the other, the neighbor, et cetera. I said, I think that I was thinking that maybe you felt that we could learn something from them in terms of their understanding of how to love each other. The imam says that's exactly it. And I believe that's still true, you know. It's not even about being politically correct or any of those things, but we're not going to be successful except with each other. So we're going to have to learn how to, you know, how brothers and sisters, blood brothers and sisters, can correct each other but still keep a bond that is the bond of brother and sister. This is what we're going to have to do instead of the ways that it's done now, because we're not together like we should be, in my opinion. We critique each other, but we don't do it in a way that brings us together. We do it in a way that separates us. So I think that we have to understand that our main objective is to form community life, and that means that we're going to have to tolerate each other, and we're going to have to correct each other, and we're going to have to love each other. And we're going to have to see that our future is with each other. And the last thing I'll say is we have to know what the objective is. The objective is not us per se. The objective is the human being that God created. The human being has been mistreated, lied on, cheated on, all the things that human being need. The human being, you remember one time in a lecture said, that really every human being is born an orphan. He gave a lecture on that. He said, they tell you that the baby knows the mother. He said, but when the baby enters this world and becomes conscious, he doesn't know anybody. She doesn't know anybody. And it is the care of the mother that causes the baby to love the mother. Right? So then what about a group of people? And now I'm talking about the whole world. The whole world has been orphaned. Because we got all these systems, you know. An example is the man who was a dissenting person in Russia. Now he dies in prison, and they have it out in the Arctic Circle. The man didn't really commit anything; he didn't kill anybody. And so these kind of things. Look at what's going on in Israel, in Palestine, where they're saying close to 30,000 people have been killed, men of them, women, and children. And the Quran says there'll come a time when you kill one, it's like you kill the whole human race. That consciousness has to be in us as Muslims. We're doing our best so that we can be a model for the whole world, because the whole world needs what Allah has given us in the Quran. That's how we should see it. We are the chosen at this period of time in history. God gave us for 33 solid years, a man who spoke to us from God's word, the Quran, and he spoke with us with clarity. And that clarity reached all the way back 1,400 years to the time to Muhammad the Prophet, who spoke with clarity and changed the whole world. That's how clear Imam spoke to us. And that's why I heard what Imam said when he said, if we can, we need to do a million books for the world to read and then be influenced by, instead of thinking that we're going to shrink back and the world's going to get better.
Yes, sir. You have suggested in a private conversation that the students of Imam Muhammad, making the focus more striking by saying students of Imam Muhammad, we need to write our stories of how we came to Islam,
right.
Al-Islam, and
right.
How that would affect the social environment by these stories, the numerous stories coming out with the appeal of al-Islam. And I've noticed that the group of people who are more who are newly focused on in terms of coming into America, the people that come in with a philosophy that they call mi familia, my family, that this group of people are coming into al-Islam by leaps and bounds, you know, that, you know, as it's reported. And I think that that's significant. And I just wanted to state that. I wonder what you think about it.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. And years ago, I was doing a casual weekend chaplaincy in the federal prison in Tallahassee, Florida. And that was the first time I came in contact with people people who migrated here who were Latino, and they were making requests. They wanted to hear more about Islam, you know. And we were at one time trying to work on getting interpreters, because they were in prison, you know, and their English was not that good, and my Spanish is terrible, you know. But I was aware that there was a segment that was growing, and now you're saying it's really, really, really big, wanting to know more about what Islam had to say, you know. And you can understand it, because there are people who still have the family orientation, the group focus. And Islam is about focusing the group, because the Prophet said Allah's attention, his control is on the group. But, you know, as you all know, in this society we've grown up in, in the latter years of this of our existence in this society, it seems to point more to individualism and the breaking down of group and the breaking down of family. And any group of people who don't stick to their understanding about group cohesiveness will fall victims to what goes on in this society, being influenced by the shaitan so that we can't be competitive. In our religion, as you know, the obligated prayer is group prayer. The fard prayer is group prayer, right?
Yeah.
And in the group prayer, we have a leader, and we line up, men and women, and we touch each other as we line, you know, shoulder to shoulder and everything. It's a picture of how we should or how we can form our community life. You know, that's what the Prophet established. And then everything that we need to keep our group life strong has been given to us in our rituals that we practice all the time. Even Ramadan that's now coming up is focused on individual fasting and moving away from those things that are even lawful in obedience to God. That kind of action leads us to the Hajj, which is a picture of human beings coming together. And Hajj is a group picture. Fasting, Ramadan is an individual picture. But both of them are necessary for human beings to advance. You know, so we African Americans who, you know, from our first time in this country, more than 400 years ago, the move was to separate us and divide our families. And we're still rocking and reeling from that experience of 400 years. You know, but Islam comes as a healing for that, because Islam is about the family. It's about the group. It's about the community. And it's about the whole world of groups coming together for the recognition. That's the Hajj. The recognition that we're doing it for God. That God, when he created us, put in our makeup, in our soul, this need to form community. There's a need. We have a need to form community. And when you have community, you have to have leadership. That's why leadership exists, not to oppress and not to be oppressive, but leadership exists so that the community has a focus and can stay with what was established by God in our religion that is beneficial for the whole world. And so we shouldn't get our egos mixed up in it. It's not a, you know, like we used to say in the first experience, no big U's and little I's. I mean, no big I's and little U's or something like that. That it's all about the group.
Yes, sir.
It's all about the family, the group.
Appreciate that. And we're going to open up the conversation to 727-408. Thank you for joining us. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal from Hudson, Florida.
Praise
be to Allah.
Alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ronald. I'm Bilal.
Alaikum assalam.
I have to view you as a special person. And the scholars from overseas, they looked at Imam Muhammad. That's what Allah had him do as far as the Shahadatain was. He said that's something very special that Allah gives to people. And just the fact that Imam Muhammad passed that kind of those directions on to you, that have to put you as one that Allah inspired and also utilized you in a very important role as far as our unity and our coming together is. So praise be to Allah for that. Alhamdulillah. And I'm basically I enjoyed the books that you wrote, and I live on them, you know. So praise be to Allah. Right now, I'm studying Brother Rashad in Atlanta, and I'm understanding his thought on Islamic teachings, and so I imagine we're dealing with jurisprudence, but we're dealing with faith, we're dealing with other sirat, other different things like that in that arena. I think that's what he's talking about. But when he begins to get into the Quran, and he identified things, right? And it's like Quranic Arabic is really important, because when you get into different fabrics, you know, deep into the Quran, you'll find out it's different from what I've been listening to for a long time. What you gave is something I never heard before that I'm listening to, and the effect that it has on me. So right now, I took that the concept and Imam Muhammad said about the young people with their own leadership. So I got that, and I jumped on it, and I'm on it, and I'm staying with it. And then as I see them talk, and I'm reading the direction that was left, all of it coincided, and it, you need to fabric is there. And I say praise be to Allah, and I think what it is that if the young people is not looked at who they are and what they're trying to do, they'll be misunderstood by the elders, by the pioneer. They wouldn't understand where they're coming from. It's a big conflict. I don't know whether or not you heard. I listened to this dang legacy that was done by Rashad. He did it in Philadelphia, and he was talking about that. Said he's trying to bridge that gap, and he was talking to him in Philly, and about that, and just how they respond to the young people, how the young people looking at them, and how he would just really would like for them just maybe to trust that what Imam Muhammad gave them, trust it, and give them the support and get behind it. And I want them to get behind it, all the direction he left. I want them to take and grasp hold of everything. So I do my best. I dedicated my life to make sure that I do as much as I can to get it out there and bring as much people into the books and the direction, and to the younger folks and different things like that. And I'm thankful to Allah because you brought about a change in my life, because what it was, I was at a standstill and I love writing. And it got to the point of I said, well, Allah, I need new material. I need something. And then what it was, you came into scene. and all I can say, praise be to Allah. Allah gave me what I needed. And life for me haven't been the same since then. And I'm thankful to Allah. And
Praise be to Allah.
You know, but don't look. Always know that you're very special, Brother Ron. Don't never take that from me. You have to look at yourself in that light of Scripture. You're something real special in the light of Scripture. And be thankful to Allah for that. Now, you know, you're just not a person that, okay, Imam Muhammad left me there and it's just that something. No, it's not like that. It's bigger than that. And I want you to know that you're bigger than that. And you know, you got a lot of strong people behind you. And I'm not going to never stop. So pray, alhamdulillah, and I enjoy the work I do with what you gave me. My life is full right now. And I won't never stop writing. And I'm thankful to Allah for you, and I pray for people to get these books and realize how important it is. I'm putting it out there with him because I know what kind of, but I want him to do a series again on the Medina Charter. And I would like for us to go through that. I put on the song. I would like for us to go through that during the month of Ramadan or starting the Shaban with that. And then what he have it with, you know, with the Ramadan session.
Yeah, well, he's listening. He's listening.
Are you okay? Okay,
yes,
that's
sir.
Good.
Thank you. Good.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, everybody.
Alaikum assalam, brother.
Thank you. And I've got to say that Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, you know, he's about his assignment, and people like him don't think much. You know, they have to hear it from you, Bilal, because they don't think about that kind of stuff, you know. And Imam Ronald, Bilal is an example. He's a writer. He's a wordsmith, writes poetry. And he has stated that the books that you've published of Imam Muhammad's language and comments on the Quran, Life of Prophet Muhammad, and what you mentioned earlier in terms of how the world operates. You know, he gave us more than just Quran and the Life of Prophet Muhammad, but he gave us insights into the world and also into Mother Nature, how it confirms in a big way the logic and language of the Holy Quran and the logic and language of the application of the word by Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. So Bilal has not only been inspired by your work to write in a more enthusiastic way, but he's also been inspired to motivate us. I say us, my friend and colleague, Imam Kareem Hamid, we, thanks to Bilal's encouragement, we do a program on Sunday afternoons at 5 Eastern where we read from the volumes, the Ramadan volumes that you produced. And, you know, it says a lot in terms of how you brought those books forward. They're so well done. And it's kind of like a keepsake book. You don't want anything. The way you have it hardbound, the beautiful green and gold, and also the books are individually packaged. I mean, it shows the care that you have in terms of doing your assignment. And I was thinking as you were talking earlier, I said, and he doesn't use the little tiny print when he prints these other books. You know, people with vision challenges can comfortably read what you print, what you publish. All praise is due to Allah. I saw Imam Kareem's hand go up, and I'd like to invite you to raise your hand again, Imam, for me to bring you in. Imam Kareem. Thank you. Here's Imam Kareem Hamid. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. And it's good to hear your voice on AM360 once more. Ronald, praise be to Almighty God for you. I mean that. You know, and be loud is correct when I say I thank Allah for you. Allah missioned you. Allah created you. Allah put that desire within you, you know. And so we thank Almighty God for you. You are very valuable. Believer, praise be to Allah. And we are to be da'i, all of us. We don't have to wear a title of imam. All of us ought to be able to give this way of life in clear, understandable language, you know. And these books that you are sharing with us are very, very valuable. I mean, I can't put a price on them. You can think that you know something, but then when you go back and you sit down and you actually read that and ingest that, it gives you a whole new perspective, a whole new life. And that's what I'm experiencing and sharing the volumes of the Ramadan special. It's a very enlightening, very rich experience. And let me say this. We are utilizing the airwaves of American Muslim 360 to help publish the thinking and the knowledge and the logic of Imam Muhammad. We want to utilize these airwaves. Matter of fact, let me share something that I'm quite sure everyone knows me. They know me. In my involvement here on American Muslim 360, I'm always highlighting the contribution of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. We hold study sessions here Saturday morning on the addresses and lectures of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. But I remember him saying early in his leadership, they will be studying my language for the next 1,000 years. I don't know who that day is, but I'm a part of that. I hope we appreciate the gift that he is to us. He's still giving. Praise be to Allah. He's still giving. What a wonderful soul. I'm grateful to have been alive at the same time he was, and the operation in the system that he was constructing. I'm grateful for that. You know, what can I say? I remember you was being interviewed by Brother Thomas Abdul Salam, the founder of AM360. And Thomas said, before we even get started, I got one question. He said, man, the Imam, why you? Why did he choose you? I can't remember what your answer was. But I can answer that. It was in Allah's will and plan. It was in Allah's will and plan that he would sit with you, Brother Ghani, and Brother Morocco, and share some of his innermost thoughts and things. It wouldn't have happened if it was not within Allah's will that happened. So we want to keep the object in front of us, that is to distribute and share as much of the knowledge that this wonderful man shared with us. You know, so the publications are excellent. We are utilizing the Airways of America Muslim 360. And this radio station, it reaches Central America, South America, Canada, islands in the Caribbean. So praise be to Allah. I'll stop right there, and I'm going to order that fourth volume of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahdi Muhammad, brother. Ronald, inshallah. After the first of the month. Okay, thank you
sir.
For
praise
this time. Oh, we definitely appreciate you, my brother. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say what you said, Brother Imam Hamid. I would say it like you said it, that this was something that God intended, because I'm telling you, I've been asked that question more than once, and I can't think of anything I did in my life that would have me that close. I mean, I swear, all those times we went to meet with Imam, I was on somewhere up in the heavens. I was tongue tied. I didn't know what to say. I ended up saying things, but I never got so comfortable that I thought that it was something that I was just supposed to have at my disposal, and so I always have wanted to and still want to share everything, you know, because something as precious as what God bless us with through Imam, we know it's not just for one person. We know it's for the world, you know. But we're small. Our history says that we were a people, talking about African Americans, that we were a people that the world kind of didn't have much hope in, that anything could come out of our group that would benefit the world. And of course that's the group that God chooses to manifest his majesty, and the fact that he can take a people like us, that the experience tried to wipe us out, tried to wipe even the way we think out, took everything, religion, culture, history, took our children and sold them off into different places and totally decimated our family. Now, who would think that that group would have anything to offer for the future of mankind? But those who know God know that that's God's way. That's the Sunnah of God. The Sunnah, we have the Sunnah of Muhammad, the Sunnah of Abraham. We have the Sunnah of God. And the way
that's
of God,
right,
the Sunnah of God, is to take a people, whether individual person, most specifically a group of people, and that the world has lost hope in or never had hope in, and show them as a beacon of hope for the whole world now and in the future. And that's what he has done for us, whether we accept it or not. It would be better if we accepted it, you know. And, yeah, I don't want for people to recognize me any more than let me share with them what Imam shared with me. But beyond that, I don't need people. In fact, I don't want people to, you know, give me accolades and make my name a household name or something. No, I don't want that. What I would love to have is an opportunity to give the people everything I can that Imam shared with us, with myself. And if books are the way to do it, because I'm not somebody who's going to promote my personality. And obviously after 16 years, I know I'm not going to get any big invitations to go anywhere, because I'm not a celebrity type, you know. Maybe I don't hold my mouth exactly right. Maybe I don't wear the right clothes. I don't know. But if I can produce a book that will reach, if God blesses me, I'm going to produce 1,000 books from Imam Muhammad. And I do believe we could do that. You know, I have a document, and I didn't even know I had it. And Imam Nasser shared it with me years ago. And, you know, I have so many things on my computer that I'll never see all of it, I don't think. But I happened to look at it about 6 months ago. And when I finished going through it, that was about 6 or 7,000 pages of Bible commentary.
Wonderful.
I couldn't believe it. I was just, on Bible. The prophet, Abraham, Joseph. I was tongue-tied. That's just a picture of how much God blessed us with from Imam Muhammad. The man taught for 33 years all across the world. And he spoke at universities. He spoke going to certain cities. He spoke in private. He spoke coming to the masjid. He spoke in Egypt. He spoke in Indonesia. He spoke in Paris. I mean, the man, if African-American people, and they don't, by the way, if African-American people don't see who W.D. Muhammad is, we have a curse on us. I'm talking about the whole people, not just members of our association. I'm talking about all African-American people. And the curse is that unless somebody come and tell us about the excellence among us, we just don't know because we don't look for it. We don't think we deserve
right.
it, and we don't think we're excellent, right? So, but God, like Imam Amin said, God does what God wants to do. And I think that this is the time for, and there's a great need for what we've been blessed with to come out. And it's going to come out, and it's going to keep growing. You know what Imam told the students in the class? He told them one day in the future, somebody from this association is going to be president of the world. He said, now, I know what I'm saying. I know what language I'm using. They're going to be president of the world, not of the United States, of the world. And on another occasion, he told the students, and I was sitting in there, I'm one of the students listening. He said, in the future, what you all are going to represent and bring to the world is going to be so appreciated that they're going to want to worship you. He told the students that. And I believe it. I believe it.
Well, they're worshiping much less in these idols of culture, Hollywood, and light. So, we are part of, in my opinion, a modern day miracle. And if we just see the facts of the matter, and the Lord Creator says in His guidance, your own self obligates you, and once we are sensitized to the obligation of our souls, I think we're more out of ourselves in terms of not so much the personality. Imam Muhammad was very much aware of persona influence, and he was more of the disposition that he wanted to share the influence of what God had given him in terms of understanding the Quran, having a fresh perspective on the guidance of God, on the example of Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, as a model of how to live this guidance, and in terms of what Mother Nature, the creative logic, social logic of Mother Nature, and the history of the world. And this is, the Imam so insightful in sharing with us an awareness of how human beings operate, and this was something that I really value, him showing us how we operate and how that operation has been inspired in terms of the human composition. It has been inspired by God's word. All praise is due to Allah. It is when the spark hits, brother Imam, it's going to be something. It's going to really be something. And Allah, this is the main thing that keeps my feet on the ground and 10 toes down, as they say. This is a process that God is in charge of. I'm going to open up Brother Imam's mic. Yes, sir. Welcome back.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. You know, Imam Muhammad said, trust what I gave you. Trust what is with you. We are fortunate here on American Muslim 360 to reach the ear of Christians, especially on Wednesday mornings, the female solution. The majority of the people in Chicago and around the country that call in or participate, the majority of them are Christians. And Naima presents very pertinent subject matter, current events, the situations from the universal level all the way down to the family, all the way down to the individual. And now I'm aware that I'm talking to Christians when I share. And when you speak in universal terms, Imam Muhammad encouraged us to start communicating in universal terms. That's a truth that'll stand up anywhere. And the little tidbit that I share, the reaction that I'm hearing from non-Muslims is very positive. Very positive. There's a way of doing this. You know, sometimes, I'll just say it. Sometimes we over emphasize, how can I say it? You can put Quranic language in regular talk.
Yes, sir.
You can present an Islamic principle in just a regular conversation. Don't go quoting. Don't, periodically I do, but I don't make it a habit. Periodically quoting the chapters and verses from the Quran and using Islamic terminology that people don't really understand. You know, we got to be halal and the Khalifa and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
We have to have we have to have the wisdom and the insight to know how to express those principles in the language that people understand and at a universal level. So praise be to Almighty God. We are not the only ones here at AM360 that people are doing that. I know that is being done, and that is a plus. But I have to speak from my own experience that, I was addressing the idea of the return of Christ. I live in a senior citizen complex, and I have a good reputation here. And some of the people had met in the group, and they was discussing that. And I presented to them, you know, from the tafsir of Ibn Wathuddin. I said, now, Jesus himself identified himself.
Yes.
He identified himself. He told his followers, I am the Father in you. I in you, and you in me. So what was he saying? That the content that's in me is in you. The teachings I have given you is in you. You have to express the best of yourself. Then you are resurrecting that Christ nature. The Christ nature is in all of us. Then you are resurrecting the Christ. Do you know? These, and I'm talking about dyed in the wool, long term, Baptist, whatever. You know, they agreed with me and said that they had never heard it given like that. And I let them know where I got that from.
Yes, sir.
The memoirs of Muhammad. Mm-hmm. But first, let's just start off on a general conversation and choose our words carefully so that we're not, why am I saying this? So that we do not alienate other people. So that we do not alienate other people. We talk with each other. I can use Islamic terminology, Arabia, and all, and you understand what I'm saying. But I watched the example of Imam Muhammad.
Exactly, yeah.
Everything he said was Quranically based. It was Quranically based. But he made his audience feel, you know what I'm saying, inclusive. All of us are in this. So I'll stop right there because we shouldn't make this, we shouldn't take this way of life so personal, nor our Prophet Muhammad. He was the messenger to the whole world. He's not just our prophet. You see what I'm saying? In us delivering what we was given, we have to be wise in the delivery of that. I'll stop right there. Thank you, Michael, your patience with me, and I'm grateful to hear from our beloved brother, Ronald B. Shaheed. Thank you.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, Imam, in the comments.
Well, I don't think I can comment by that.
Okay. I'll make one observation. That Imam Muhammad, in his reasoning and logic shaped by scripture, he was not challenged when he called what he called renegade Jewish leadership. He identified them specifically as a Jacobite, but he made a distinction between the renegade Jewish mind and the mind of the believing Jewish people. And really speaking from scripture, Jesus condemned lying Jewish leadership, Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, saying that they were the children of Abraham and, you know, other kinds of things. And he called them liars. That you are of your father, the devil. He called him spawn of the devil. And no one challenged him on that because he was very specific and scripturally based in terms of identifying those who wore the labels but were callous and really not really believing in what they were saying they identified with. And he really established himself in that way to be able to condemn leadership, even amongst the Muslims, condemn leadership holding back from the people what the people needed in terms of guidance and help for their lives. We invite the listening audience to press 1 to come into the conversation. We're winding down. The program is scheduled to close out at 9:30 Eastern, but we do have some grace time if Imam Ronald is willing to go a little over. And we invite you to take advantage of Imam Ronald's presence here to either make comment or question. 779, welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hashem Kamal, Buffalo, Illinois. Assalamu alaikum, everybody.
Alaikum assalam. Where are you from? Where are you calling from?
Buffalo, Rockport, Illinois.
Oh, yes. Welcome, brother. Yes.
I want to make sure that brother Ronald given information how to order the books. Make sure you do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me ask you a question, brother. Were you familiar with Christine Celine?
Yes, sir.
Okay, praise be to Allah. Yes, a dear colleague and friend.
Yes, sir.
And she was committed to this work. Okay, we'll make sure. Any other question or comment?
No, just you all keep up the good work and give us any information, brother.
Thank you. Praise be to Allah. So, assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam. So, Imam Ronald, if you give the information of how the listeners can get copies of your published works.
Yes. I don't have a web page anymore, so I invite people to contact me by way of texting or email. My number for texting is, or they can call, 414-349-2278. That's 414-349-2278. And you can text me or call, and if you don't get me, just leave a voicemail. My email address is my first initial, R, and then my last name, Shahid. R, Shahid, R-S-H-A-H-E-E-D, the number 49 at gmail.com. And if you don't get me, just, as I say, when you call or text me, I'll get back with you.
Praise be to Allah. And we'll repeat that again before going off. Yes, this is a wonderful gift and opportunity given by the Creator to share family, friends, in-laws, outlaws, what has been inspired by Almighty God's gift to the world of the scripture, particularly the Holy Quran, the Quran, the generous Quran, Al-Kareem, and accompanying that, the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. We're about to go off the internet in 60 seconds. Thank you, those of you that have called in. And I see you on your numbers on the switchboard and those who are listening by way of the World Wide Web. We appreciate you joining us, and we hope you'll extend an invitation to join the AM360.org and the programming that is offered during the day and the evening throughout the week and even on the weekends, and that you'll invite and become a part of the AM3 community-wide Shura conference family. We've got 10 seconds, so we thank those of you who are on the internet for joining us. And we invite the listening audience, we have a little overtime, if you'll press 1 to come into the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Imam Ronald, I'm not a person that likes to harp on negative issues, but sometimes I do sprinkle a little bit, kind of like what they say, one of those people that are like the washing machine of life. You know, you have agitation. to go through the cleaning process. And I've become aware, I was in a business meeting, and I've become aware of individuals that, well, Ronald, well, they didn't say Ronald. Well, you know, Imam Muhammad didn't approve his publishing the Ramadan sessions. And there are a few out there like that with this quiet campaign. And I even heard, well, you know, I've got a lot of those lectures of Imam Muhammad. So what Imam Ronald is doing, you know, I've got a lot of that, you know, to suggest that this is maybe rehashing of old materials.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say this is going on, and I'm not raising this issue for you necessarily to comment on. You can if you want to, but I'm just saying, you know, the old saying, you know, every knock is a boost. Just like what we're seeing in the world, we're seeing these tragic circumstances of oppressed people. We've mentioned that Almighty God is permitting this oppression, and people want to know more about Muslims now, in particular. You know, they want to know more because see how the Muslim worshipers, followers, are responding to this oppressed and genocidal circumstances. Your comment.
Well, I you know, if you're going to lead anything, no matter what it is, you have to be, I believe, prepared to accept criticism.
Yes, sir.
I heard one of our imams a few years ago speaking, and he was talking about some of the trials and tribulations of being a leader and an imam for a group of people. He said, in these days, if you are leading and you have people behind you, he said, you look back at them and you don't know if they're following you or chasing you.
And that's why I put my imam cap in my back pocket.
I heard some of these comments that you mentioned. I'm sure I haven't heard all of them because most people, they won't say because they know it's not productive. You know, sometimes you can carry a message for the one who ain't brave enough to come in your face and tell you what they want to say, so they put something heavy on you and want you to carry it. And so people are aware of that. And, but the idea of, and I have had people, I know there are people who say that, well, the Ramadan sessions, well, you know, I have all of them. And I understand what they're saying, and I usually don't say anything. But I'm saying to myself, well, you may have them. You don't have them in this form where they could be handed down from generation to generation, a hardback book form. And the one who did that, Imam Nasser Ahmed, by Imam's permission, is commending me for doing it. You know?
Praise be to Allah.
So I don't know these. I don't know the motives of people that come in when somebody's trying to do a better work. Yeah, they're out there, but I'm trying to do a better work. Imam, he wanted, and I shared this with Imam Nasser when our Imam was still alive. Imam, you know, in those original Ramadan session books, we had quotes, you know, references to the Bible and all, Hadith and all of that. And Imam said he didn't like that. He said, if I'm not speaking on that particular thing, then don't put it there because you'll distract the reader from what I'm presenting, the idea I'm trying to present. And so in the 2006 Ramadan session, I took all of that out, and I showed it to the imam. I said, imam, what about this? He said, that's exactly the way I want it. And so I said, brother imam, can I do the rest of them like? He said, yes. So when people say I don't have approval, I don't understand who is supposed to give me approval, you know? I did exactly what the leader said, and Allah is my witness. If he didn't tell me that, then Allah is my witness.
and Allah is my judge.
Yeah,
but those same tell them to stick around, because if God bless me, I'm gonna do a lot more books, and they're gonna go crazy if I can, trying to say it's not approved. I'm gonna try to put everything I can get my hands on out there that Imam Muhammad said, because I believe it's what God wanted them to say. So that's my approval. And I got a call from a sister today, and she was an older student. She said she was 78, 79 years old. She said she used to sit on the floor when the man would be speaking for 8-9 hours. Some of you all remember that.
Yeah.
And she said, she asked me, well, the books cost, and I didn't want to tell her because they are expensive, you know. I said, well, sister, she said, I don't care what they cost. I want those books, she said, and my great grandchildren, they just won't be getting this that they were gonna get, because I'm gonna get these books, because I'm shut in, and I have to listen to Juma on the computer. She said, and I want those so I can study what our leader said. So there's a lot of people. I get calls like that all the time, you know. And so those people who say it's not approved, let them keep saying it. I think it's helping.
Yeah. And I'm reminded that the Ramadan sessions initially were with the leadership, the imams, but the word, the guidance, the help wasn't getting out to the public. So Imam expanded the Ramadan sessions that he held personally to include the general population of those students and associates of his. And going back to what we started with, you know, taking the initiative to give what will be helpful to the growth and development, being resourceful enough to see that this will help us have a better and more productive future if this is shared with the general public, and not just the public of Muslims. You know, it helps the understanding and association with those of other faith groups. You know, the Christians have a better understanding. The Jewish people have a better understanding of what Muslim life is about, because for centuries there's been an organized effort to undermine what Islam actually means in terms of the human life. And you also have those in the West that value what Islam brings forward. The founding fathers appreciated what the Quran meant to humanity, what Prophet Muhammad's example meant to humanity. The Supreme Court building in the city that I grew up in acknowledges Muhammad. You know, the Library of Congress in the city that I grew up in acknowledges Prophet Muhammad and the Holy Quran. So we did have a hand up. We ask you to put your hand up again, and we'll bring you into the conversation. Welcome back.
Yes, this is Kareem Hamid once more. You know, Imam Muhammad said it, and we have to accept that and continue to work in the positive. There are enemies among us that want to hold back the progress of the African American and distort the religion of Islam. There are enemies among us. They look like us. They talk like us.
It's clear.
When the
yes.
Yeah, when the Imam published his book As the Light Shineth from the East, some Imams would not even allow that book in their Islamic center or masjid. So, but still, that doesn't deter us. We just have to know that they exist and keep the positive movement moving toward the destiny that Allah has,
yes,
has prepared.
Yes,
I'll stop
thank
right
you,
there. And
thank you.
Michael,
okay.
You are somewhat like me. I will throw a bomb. There are no sacred cows in this work that we're doing. I'll stop right there.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're more powerful than me because I only want to agitate. I don't want to blow nobody up. Imam Ron, we have really enjoyed your joining us, and we look forward to joining us again in the coming months. The proof of the pudding is in the tasting, they say, and there are a lot of other sayings
right.
that support what the good intentions and good work produce a good product, a good environment. And I remind the audience as well as reminding myself that the need to remember what God says about us, that as a human creation, we are forgetful and we're hasty. So I encourage you as well as encourage myself, we have to be mindful of a language environment that supports our memory and supports us being expeditious, moving quickly in terms of the sureness of our steps and moving in a way that doesn't waste time, energy, or effort. And Imam Ronald, we thank you. Again, the information for purchasing the books, would you share that with us again?
Yes. Call or text is 414-349-2278. And my email address is rshaheed49@gmail.com. So either way, you can contact me and we'll get together and we can figure out what you need and how I can get it to you.
Thank you so much, Imam Ronald B. Shaheed.
Yes,
publisher
sir.
Of
you're welcome.
Publish the language of Imam Wahdeen Muhammad, and I like to remind sometimes I've heard this Brother Bilal mentioned the YouTube presentation legacy where your son-in-law Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman speaking in Philadelphia. And he mentioned that those of his public in Atlanta, many of them don't think he mentions Imam Muhammad's name enough in the Jumas, the public presentation. But yet and still, he has in talims and in other presentations where he teaches students of Imam Wahdeen Muhammad from lectures of Imam Muhammad and also the logic and language that directs us to Mother Nature support and the history of human being support. It's an issue, but it's a small issue because if we trust one another in terms of how we proceed, like we have brother, and I'm gonna mention his name in particular, brother Sharif from New York. he supports AM 360 and community-wide Shura Conference, but he often reminds us that we need to do more. We're not doing enough. Imam Muhammad left us so much, but we need to do more. We're not doing enough. And I don't have any problem with that. You know, we do need to put pressure on ourselves to be more energized in establishment of the community life that Imam Muhammad pointed us to. So thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Imam Ronald, again. And
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
We're going to make a dua, supplication, as we like to close out. O Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us, and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge, and none can judge against you, and those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Thank you again. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Alaikum assalam.
Hesitates to believe in the all-knowing being. We can see